As we come this morning to look at John chapter 20 and celebrate the resurrection of Christ, I just want to remind you that Christ has been appearing to people throughout the centuries. After Jesus ascended to the right hand of God the Father Almighty, it was after that that he appeared to the Apostle Paul. Of course, his name at that time was Saul. He was not an apostle of the Lord Jesus in any way. He was a doubter, a persecutor of the church. In no way could he believe that Jesus could be the Messiah, because he just could not understand that the Messiah could be killed and crucified and nailed to a cross. But the risen Christ appeared to Paul, or appeared to Saul, whose name was later changed to Paul. And of course, Saul became a believer in Christ and proclaimed the risen Christ throughout the known world. And throughout the centuries, the Lord Jesus, the risen Christ, has appeared to many, and now that his word is being proclaimed throughout the world, many are coming to know him. There's even a lady who's attended our church. She's not here this morning, but the Lord Jesus appeared to her at her hospital bed after an horrific accident. She was so afraid she would never walk again. She is now walking, and Lord willing, we'll have her share her testimony next week. But here we come to John chapter 20, and the beginning of this chapter records a very sad situation. There's a woman weeping at the grave of Jesus. And so if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to John chapter 20. Last week we covered the first 10 verses where Peter and John ran to the tomb and found the empty tomb. John and Peter became believers that morning. They left and went to their homes. And now Mary, who was first at the tomb, has returned to the tomb. She's the one who told Peter and John that the tomb was empty. Peter and John has left, and now here is Mary standing by the tomb. So if you look with me at John chapter 20, we're going to start with verse 11. Verse 11 says, "But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. 'Woman,' he said, 'why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned toward him and cried in Aramaic, saying, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher or master. Jesus said, 'Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, 'I have seen the Lord,' and she told them that he had said these things to her." So, as we think about this passage, I was just thinking about Mary there on that morning, weeping. It was supposed to be a day of celebration, and yet here she is weeping. Many have wept at graves throughout centuries. Funerals are often the most emotionally charged, sad events in a person's life. Jesus himself wept at the grave of Lazarus. I just want to stop here and remind you that the world that God created, as recorded in Genesis chapter 1, had no death. There was no death in the world that God created. God planned and created a paradise. crystal clear water, fresh air, an abundance of food ready to be picked, tree-ripe fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds. Everyone, even the animals, were vegetarians. Lions, tigers, bears, dinosaurs, they were all vegetarians. The lion would lie down next to the lamb. There was no death there. Then the people disobeyed God. And because they disobeyed God, rejected His rule, sin and death entered the world. That's why the world is so messed up. That's why there's evil in the world, because we have rejected God. Think about that. That beautiful paradise, polluted because people disobeyed God. Now that's something to cry about. That's why Jesus cried at Lazarus' tomb. And there's much to cry about now, because we're still disobeying Him today. And so we're still sitting and weeping by graves today. I read a story not too long ago about this lady who went to buy a tombstone for her husband. And the man at the company asked her, "Well, what would you like put on your tombstone?" And she says, "Just put 'to my husband' at a suitable place." So he said, "Okay." So when the tombstone came out, she looked at it in horror. She looked at it, and on the tombstone, engraved, chiseled in the stone, was, "To my husband in a suitable place." Yeah, he was in a suitable place. It's a suitable place for all of us, isn't it? Because of our sin. And so here's Mary at the tomb of Jesus. And the angel asked her this question: "Why do you weep?" You know, that's a great question. We're going to talk about that this morning. And as you look at the outline, we're going to talk about three reasons why she wept. A, Mary wept because she believed the worst. B, Mary wept because she thought she was alone. C, Mary wept because she thought her life was over. First of all, let's talk about verse 13. She wept because she thought, or she believed the worst. She doubted the promise of the Lord Jesus Himself. Jesus had promised that He would be risen from the dead. We went through this last week when we talked about the first 10 verses. Four times, four different occasions, 6 months before Jesus came to Jerusalem, 3 months before He came to Jerusalem, as He was entering Jerusalem, all three times He told the disciples, and Mary was one of the disciples, she was there, she heard Him say it, that He would be killed and that He would be raised from the dead on the third day. Why didn't she believe Him? His enemies believed Him. That's why they put a guard on the tomb. They knew He said that. She had come to do the work of an undertaker. She did not come to the tomb wearing her Easter dress. She came with spices to anoint His dead corpse. And even the empty tomb hadn't convinced her that Jesus was alive. It convinced Peter and John. But she's still not convinced. Now Mary believed that the body of Jesus had been stolen. Like, who told her that? Like, where did that come from? You know, when we doubt God's promises, we come up with the wrong conclusions, don't we? When we doubt God's promises, we're overcome with anxiety. And then there's something even worse with doubting God's promises, and that is not even knowing God's promises. If you don't know God's promises, you'll worry about everything. Now, I'd like to stop right here just for a second and ask you, do you know God's promises? Do you know that there's over 100 promises for each one of us in the Scripture? God promises us wisdom, help, power, grace, understanding in every situation. That's what Mary lacked at that particular moment. He promises to forgive us if we confess our sins and turn to Him and trust Him as our Savior. And as believers who have already trusted Him as our Savior, if we are guilty of sin, Scripture says that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And do you know that if you surrender to Christ and yield to his lordship. Do you know he promises to fill you with his Holy Spirit? Do you know that he promises to fill you with his Holy Spirit if you just ask? Do you know that he promises you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? He promises to guide you, to hear and answer your prayer. Now, he might say no, and he might say yes, or he might say wait, but he promises to answer your prayer. And did you know that Jesus promised to return again? He will return. He always keeps his promises. Mary obviously believed her enemies were more powerful than her friend Jesus. She thought evil had victory over Jesus. She was wrong. Now listen, we need to doubt our doubts and believe our beliefs. Are you with me on that? That's what we need to be doing. We usually do just the opposite. But we need to doubt our doubts and believe our beliefs. You know, maybe we should start saying the Apostles' Creed in this church. You know what the Apostles' Creed is? It's in our hymn book. When I was a kid, I used to say it every week. And here it is. I'll read it to you. Here's the Apostles' Creed. It's written hundreds of years ago. It says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That's the Apostles' Creed. So, you know, whenever you're in a situation, you don't know what to do. You're up against something difficult that you've never faced before. And then you stop and say, wait a minute. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. See how that works? We need to believe what we believe and doubt our doubts. Mary wept because she thought she was alone. She says, where have you taken him? Mary doubted the presence of the Lord. She says, they have taken my Lord away. I don't know where they've put him. Hello, he's right behind you. I'm sure the angel wanted to say that, you know. But, you know, I sympathize with her. Loneliness is hard to bear, isn't it? Loneliness hurts. No wonder she was weeping that first Easter Sunday. Jesus was there, but she didn't realize it. Christians are never alone. You know that, don't you? No one can take our Lord away. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. He has all authority in heaven and earth. Nobody can boss him around. Nobody can take him away. And then there's that wonderful verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. No one can take us away from the Lord. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says this. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ah, what a wonderful truth. Thirdly, Mary wept because she thought her life was over. She doubted the purpose of the Lord for her life. Now think about her. If you know the story of Mary Magdalene, we talked a little bit about her last week. Everything had been different since she met Jesus. Before she met Jesus, she was into all sorts of evil. We know that because Mark tells us in his gospel, and you heard it this morning, that Jesus cast out of her 7 demons. She must have been into some really wicked stuff. And the pain, the agony of being tormented, being controlled by demonic forces. We don't know if she went to Jesus or Jesus came to her town, but we know that Jesus healed her. And her life was never the same. She was so grateful, so thankful to be released from these powers of darkness that she followed Jesus everywhere he went. She devoted herself to following him, listening to him, learning his words, telling others about him. Now she had purpose in her life. But now Jesus was dead. And so she thinks she has no purpose. But Jesus was there all the time. He was there when Mary doubted. He was there when Mary was in despair. And I want you to know that Jesus is here today to speak to our doubts and our despair. The remaining verses in John chapter 20 are really interesting. It says in verse 14, "At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus." Now, I want you to picture this. She's standing in front of the tomb. She's looking into the tomb and she's facing these two angels. What made her turn around? The scripture doesn't tell us. Did she hear something behind her? Or did she see the look on the angels' faces as they saw Jesus standing behind her? For whatever reason, she turned around. And of course, she didn't recognize him. You know, our emotions can keep us from seeing Jesus. Our emotions are powerful. You can be in deep depression and so sad that you do not see him. You can have such deep anger and be so mad that you do not see him. Or the opposite is true. You could have deep joy and so glad that you do not see him and give him thanks. But Jesus speaks in verse 15. In verse 15, he says, "Woman, why are you crying?" Now, don't you think that's interesting? Jesus asked the same question that the angel asked her. Well, that makes perfect sense because angels are messengers, aren't they? They were representing the Lord Jesus. And so they asked him what Jesus would ask him. But she didn't answer. So now Jesus is asking her. He says, "Who are you looking for?" Notice that Jesus doesn't say, "What are you looking for?" He said, "Who are you looking for?" You see, she was looking for an it. She was looking for a corpse. But Jesus tells her, by that simple question, what she should be looking for. She should have been looking for the risen Christ. And that's what we all should be looking for in every situation. We should look for the risen Christ, the one who is alive, the only one who can help us, the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth, the one who lives, the one we can talk to, the one who will talk to us, the risen Christ. She thinks he's a gardener. Gardeners know everything, right? So she asks him. She says, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." She's so filled with emotion, she thinks she can do anything. How she was going to pick up the body of Jesus, I have no idea. She had no idea. It didn't matter. And then Jesus speaks to her and he uses her name, Mary. He knew her name, of course. In the original language, her name is Miriam. Jesus knows your name. He knows your misunderstanding. And she cries out, "Rabboni," which means teacher or master. Verse 17, Jesus says, "Do not hold on to me." It's not a rebuke. Jesus had a mission for her. Jesus has a mission for each one of us. Her purpose is restored to serve and follow Jesus. That's his mission for all of us. And in verse 18, it says, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples. Now, why does she go to the disciples? Because of what Jesus said to her. He says, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them." Now, you know, that's the first time in all of Scripture that Jesus refers to his disciples as brothers. Just an interesting thought. He says, "I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Now notice he doesn't say, "I'm returning to our God." That would have been different. He says, "I'm returning to my God." While he's on earth, the Father was his God. But Jesus is equal with the Father, we know. Jesus said, "Who has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus said, "The Father and I are one." It's hard for us to grasp that. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God. But Jesus laid aside his power and glory and stepped down out of heaven and became, Scripture says, lower for a short time than the angels. He lived as a man, and as a man, the Father was his God. He laid aside his power and glory so that he could be the perfect sacrifice for us. You see, it was man who had sinned. And so God has provided a substitute. Think about Adam. He was a man when he was created without sin. Scripture refers to Jesus as the second Adam. Adam wasn't a man with supernatural powers. So Jesus had to be a man without sin, without supernatural powers. Philippians 2 said, Jesus, though he was God, laid aside his power and glory and became a man so that he could be that perfect sacrifice. So she heard the instructions of Jesus and she obeyed him. Oh, you know, it's so wonderful to obey. We Americans have a negative viewpoint towards that word, obey. Obey in the Greek here, sometimes it's translated obey, sometimes it's translated respect. It has in it the meaning of devotion. Because she was devoted to him, she did what he said. She obeyed him. Obedience is a wonderful thing. It's a demonstration of our love and devotion. What if she had said no? Unthinkable. Why would we ever say no to the Lord Jesus? The one who has all authority in heaven and earth. The one who loved us so much that he voluntarily gave himself for us to pay the penalty for our sins. We're the ones that deserve to be whipped and nailed to a cross. But he took that for us. He paid the penalty for us. God, being a just God, a holy God, cannot overlook sin. If he did, he'd be a rotten judge. But because he loves us, the penalty had to be paid, and Jesus volunteered, "I'll take the penalty," he said. And so God poured the penalty out on Jesus instead of us. And all who are willing to accept his death on the cross as a payment for their sins can be forgiven, can live a life debt-free, able to enter into communion and fellowship with Almighty God. Oh, what wonderful news that is. That's why Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations." Every person in the world, it doesn't matter where they live, it doesn't matter what their religion is, they need to hear that good news. That God has visited us. The Savior has come. And in him there is forgiveness and eternal life. Now I'd like to talk about a few points of application. First of all, know and believe the promises of God. The only way you can know and believe the promises of God is to read them day. And you know, we forget so easily, don't we? That's why we need to read the Scriptures every day. And then secondly, know that you're never alone. Let God speak to you. And then thirdly, the risen Christ, if you give yourself to him, he'll give you purpose. He'll give you that mission of serving Him and helping other people come to know Him. That's what the church is all about.